set a stopwatch thing, because I'm terrible at timekeeping, so I'll either read for 45 minutes or 5 minutes and be like, done! this is Flower Press. It was published, it was originally actually due to be published next Thursday, and then Paul contacted me about tonight, and I rang my publisher and went, it has to come out the week before! it is here because of it. And I have copies with me if you like what you hear, so please don't make me carry them home. I'll just read a few poems, and I hope you enjoy them. Thank you, Paul, and thank you,
Ali.
Ali. That's almost my name. Bias. In print for the first time that I can think of, other than maybe graffiti on school tables, or diary entries so long or packed into boxes, they may as well never have been. A URL, a date, a wall of comments, defictionalize you, take you from my own personal legend, unravel history until I cannot remember. Your name escapes my mouth with a hiss. It burns my lips like a first kiss. Flower Press is in three sections called Blood, Bloom, and Blood. And the poem we just read is the first poem for those sections. So I'll read a few poems from each section. It's from Blood. Boy. I found you in the garden the first day after we had moved in, stealing apples that had fallen in the wind. They would only go to the blackbirds or the earthworms in the dirt, which would feed the birds anyway. I showed you the pictures in the sky, Ursa Major, Pleiades, Cassiopeia. You told me the proper names, the Plough, Seven Sisters, but could not see Cassiopeia, no matter how much I pointed. You taught me that the bite in the apple had gone to feed something else, and that the crescent moon is just a fraction of the whole. No lamb can take away the sins of this world. Did not spring like bulbs from the earth, no snow-white beginning, they were torn from the wombs of their mothers. Shuddering in the last blows of winter winds, awake before the sun, blue rope braided round small limbs, shouts of pull, tug of war with nature. Soft slap of flesh on cold concrete, the limp, wet blue thing, ruined red hue, bowing to kiss away amniotic gunk. We waited for them to dry like fresh laundry, named every one, let them suck on our fingers like tits, watched them turn snowy as spring rolled in. They were taken to slaughter while still young, the summer fields dotted with emptiness. You told me we weren't supposed to get too attached, but I did. That was always my problem. Making pies. We picked blackberries after school for 3 weeks before dressing up and dreading the puka's poison spit. We munched as we gathered, were left with only half our spoils, licked our fingers dry of juice and always came home late. To protect their labours, the briars attacked and tore into soft fingertips. I delved into the gushing wound, lapped up the coppery flow, and sucked out the hidden prick. I always said it didn't hurt. There was an orchard in my back garden. There we could pick our second ingredient, apples, 6 apiece to make a pie. They were high up, buried in the auburn curls of autumn. You'd give me a boost and half the time we'd fall over and stain our trousers with the dewy evening lawn. You always said it didn't hurt. Once, they were sparse. A bad year, my mother said. So she bought cooking apples from the new Tesco in town. I had to peel the stickers off before she skinned them. That was the year I learned to use the sharp knives, and we didn't go trick-or-treating anymore. Chase. Playing cats and dogs, chasing in circles. Pursuit, and the first flicker of fear at the look in your eyes. I threw a stone, a rock, really, at you. Split your forehead right in two. How you cried, and I got blood on my shirt sleeve. How you didn't tell anyone the awful thing I had done. So, moving on to the middle section, Bloom. Reflections. The black hole still exists as you left it, darling. I ripped down curtains to let in the light, never got round to fixing them, or wanting to. Let the outside come in, let me creep and out. But the dark came just as easily. The mirror shimmer of myself as I am dressed, imperfection and shadow and flesh, blackness not empty as it held me. Did you know what your eyes could do? Windows hold reflections on both sides. But when you looked through, the dark swallowed you, I could not see you, and maybe you could not see yourself, darling. I know what you're thinking. Reflections can't exist in the dark. You could not create my image on the glass like a photograph because all you did was look. The light came from me. I tore down the curtains, I lit the candles, and I met your dark with a crashing of light. But don't you know, darling, the light only creates the picture if there is an eye of which it can reflect. What has night to do with sleep? I didn't see your face, only heard the barking, as the dark in the window was broken by blue moon rays. Yet, I have a memory of you in the back of the Garda car, the spinning flash of neon light, your moon face, the stream of your tears. Where did this come from? This is not my memory. They would not let me see you. There was only the spin of blue light breaking through my window. Confession. Bales of silage still make me feel guilty, with their oil-slick plastic and sweet warm smell seeping into the air like cow's breath. They remind me of being where I shouldn't be, dancing to the rhythm of the Hail Marys you've been given, learning them off as we hopped across gaps that provided a place to hide when your father drove by and we dived between the hot walls, to pretend we weren't there, weren't risking ripping cheeks with our feet and turning a whole bale rotten. A dozen or so bales bundled together like eggs in the nest of a creature too large to exist. Made a perfect playground for kids that didn't want to be kids. Turning each bale into a WWF ring as we feigned wrestling, colliding with each other, the force of other bodies starting to feel anew. 17, I brought a boyfriend to the bales in the field by the bog, far from home for trouble. I told him that the smell reminded me of cow's breath and late winter morning trips to see early born calves the boy was supposed to have forgotten. We buried our bodies in the block of bales, the guilt of the confessions I didn't make, festering like the grass beneath us. The ends of it. I want to watch the clouds melt into Crowpatrick. Sitting on the stone wall of my parents' drive, one more summer night that is miles past bedtime. I want to watch tadpoles grow legs while they still have tails, trap them in a jar and marvel at their ability to be at once both and neither. I want to watch the calves stop being cute until only syrupy brown eyes remind us they were ever splayed bloody and new on the floor of the barn while we looked on in fleece-lined pajamas and wellies, red-eyed and giddy. I want to watch you smoke your first cigarette, feel the burn of it when I try, and the wet of your mouth on the tip of it. Want to dig a hole in the field and bury the ends of it, bury it deep where no one will find it. There's a There's a German word in this poem. I'm going to try really hard to pronounce it correctly. But just don't have high expectations of that. Because I learned from a robot on the internet. The Art of Forgetting. I bet you never read this one out loud before. So. Nightly messages bouncing from you to the sky, landing discreetly in the backlit orange inbox of my first phone. Pixelated hellos after bedtime, secret communing private line via the moon. But after, on the road not meeting eyes, brush past mouths closed, saying nothing. How many drafts I typed to you, folding words into buttons, wishing to send them to space, hoping they'd find you. But they didn't. Years later, I nearly call after a fight with my lover over bottles of vodka, standing in that Rathmines Square, swinging round the lamppost all lit in the orange hue of city, whispering to the moon, hoping for an answer. Get one I don't want, it's his voice screaming, it's time to let go. But I don't. Then hearing the whispers running over the townland like ants, all at once everywhere and yet impossible to catch. Wondering, should I have left with no word, will the number still work? But the past is rewritten by a kind of folk memory. The art of forgetting has been mastered. Things are swept under rugs while mulling quietly that wasn't it a terrible tragedy. Nothing is for the grace of God as the man in black hands out those papery moons into the night of mouths, lids pulled down over eyes like wool as we open to beg absolution. Does he forget that he's hosting no party? Knows that host comes from Latin, meaning victim or stranger or enemy. I want to pick up the phone. Or forget the phone and get on a train and knock on your door. Promising to set myself that I'll corner you, demand that you tell me the whys. But the summer grows taller and hotter and job offers and nerve swallowed. Not now, but at Christmas over customs of cards and married propriety. I'm home now, we put it behind us. Past can't be changed, but history can be rewritten. But I don't. Ghost-like, I leave business unfinished in a former life. Vergelnheitsbewältigung, the Germans have named it. The struggle to come to terms with the past. An act that we cannot name to cast light on the issue would admit its existence, and we all know nothing happens in the dark. Maybe monomaniacal regret stems from words left unsaid, and sure, why say them now? They'd only be causing upset. That's what got us into this mess. Yes. So what now? If I call, but I don't. Making good time. And what will you do when the time comes? An all-night bus ride, Ryanair flights at full price, friends caught me at Central Station. This would be the time I needed to find what I was, away from love. I threw myself into the paintings in the Kelvin Grove Gallery, icy glasses of rum in sticky nightclubs, and the soft, sweet mouth of an American boy. I dispersed until the pain could not hold itself together. But when your loss came, I could run only home, the pull of it too strong to face what love had done. So moving on to the last section, blood. So preparing what to read in advance, saying it's funny too. September 1. When they tell me it is loud, a clash, a clatter, a scream, and then, for some time, only silence. The birds take their leave, gather without goodbye, before becoming a buzzing cloud on the horizon. Maybe it's the month that's in it, September, or maybe they feel it too. On the day people's steps are silent, all breath bated in hope of a reverse of this tragedy. Well wishes hang in the cold yellow room where eyes meet only the floor or the pierced painted heart hanging above us. Sweaty hands rub damp faces and brush each other in ritual signs of sympathy. Only your face is still, pale in eternal solitude. It is quiet. Three. On the third day, I break a glass. The sound comes back, and with it the earth shakes. I can hear autumn wind rippling through the leaves of apple trees as you and I climb towards the sky to pluck the fruit often before it was ripe. We couldn't resist the taste of what we could pick new from nature. I can hear round childish laughs drifting down to me through the canopy, feel the stumble of feet beneath me and the sharp sting of new pain. We didn't mind the scraped knees that came with climbing trees and the inevitability of falling. It was all a part of being young explorers. We would climb high, tempted by the most luscious of fruits in our land of plenty. Though we didn't know then what would tempt us in the end. I can only wonder, 8 years since that last fruit rotted, leaving only the smallest seed of possibility, what could have been different had we tried to plant it? It was planted for us, 8 years on, 6 feet down. Time for maybe two more. Regret. I can't remember the last time I saw you, not your hands or face, or even a silhouette. How quickly came that change after years of daily collisions of smiles and shouts of fuck you and are you home? I suppose now it will always be the next to last time that I can't remember. The last time is a gasp through closed mouth, eyes burning with I hate you, I'm sorry, knowing most of all, I have to hang on to this. Your letter has been lost over the years. That child's scrawl on the scrap of blue lined paper, carefully folded with shaking hands to hold the words. I'm sorry, I regret it. But I didn't care or care to admit, so I put you away, so certain that yesterday was always a destination within reach. I pushed aside my questions, ones you may have had answers to, though more likely than not, you'd have only had those words. I'm sorry. Regret it. Those answers have slipped away now, dissolved like ash on the wind as I queue to see you for the last time. And there is your face as white as your robes. I can see every one of your years in the mouth that can no longer say those words. So I breathe. I'm sorry. I regret it.
Two.
Imprints. You left pieces of yourself behind when you tried to erase yourself. Maybe you thought that your life would dissolve like salt in water, leaving only the faintest taste. But I can still find the smell of sweet sweat and turf smoke, the iris of your eyes and your mother's tears, your child's curiosity in church choirs. You may not remember this world anymore, but it remembers you. We'll leave it at that. Thank you so much.